Hey everybody, welcome to Paranormal Guide's weekly podcast, Podcast 020.
Season 2, Episode 6.
Yeah, Paul jumping in there. This episode's a bit different. About a month ago, I asked everybody on the Paranormal Guide page if they had a question they wanted to ask us, and we'll get back to them and answer them. And thought, why not? Let's do it mid-season, season two, and we'll answer them for you now. Just to do the introductions, we have psychic medium Tash McDonald.
Hi, how are you going?
I can't believe I forgot your name and what you do. And we have the tech support manager guy, Paul Tippich.
How you going, everyone?
And I'm your host, Ashley Hall. So before we get into these questions, just so we've got a bit of content for this show, what have we been doing these last 2 months since we've started this season of podcasts? We've done a couple of investigations and...
Tours, a lot of research.
Yep.
We've been trying to find places we can investigate a lot. We've been doing a lot of road work, a lot of footwork, trying to get into places as well.
Yeah, Lynn and Wes have been doing a fantastic job. Like, they've got a fairly decent-sized list of places we can investigate, all of a historical nature, which is awesome. We won't talk about them now, though, because Tash likes to go in nude and raw.
Yes.
So, Tash, on a, just personally, what have you been doing these last couple of months?
Making candles.
For?
For business entice, which is pretty much a hobby business on the side. Yeah, and readings.
There you go. So, just so everyone knows, Tash does have a scented soy melt business known as Entice, and you can find that on Facebook just by looking up Entice.
Entice Soy Wax.
And if you ever hear me referring to pleasant stinks, that's me talking about it, because for some reason I just call them stinks. They're not stinky, they stink in a very pleasant way. How many scents have you got there at the moment?
I think I've got about 50?
That is crazy.
Yeah.
What is your favourite scent out of the lot?
Coconut, lime, pink sugar.
What's your not-so-favourite?
Dragon's blood.
Fair enough. And you've also been doing some readings on your readings page, I gather.
Yeah, every now and then. I'm pretty busy with work at the moment, so I haven't really been doing that much. But on the community, the Paranormal Guide community, I've been giving a lot of advice on through inboxes and... Yeah.
Paul, what have you been doing? So, it can be paranormal related, but what have you been doing when we haven't been investigating?
Well, I was looking at my equipment cases a while back, and I thought, well, that looks pretty shabby, and, you know, probably needed a few more things. So, I've been spending a lot of time looking at different sorts of equipment, and I've tried making some of my own again, which I haven't done lately for a long time. So I've made a couple of pieces, which hopefully we get to try out next investigation. So we've got a little investigation coming up, which was probably huge. I've also bought a few more things, sticked it out. But, you know, that's what tech guys do.
Well, come on. What type of equipment have you bought recently?
Oh, we got the Ovilus 3, the new EMF ITC from Digital Dowsing as well.
What does that do?
It's an ovulus, an EMF detector, a 3D EMF detector as well. It's got EMF drawer on it. It's also got dowsing rods. The Ovilus 3 has a Ouija board built into it.
Oh.
What?
As well, yeah.
Where is this?
Well, it's at home.
Ah. He just doesn't lug his equipment case down for the podcast.
I want to see it.
The EMF ITC also has the a yes-no answer thing. There's heaps of new features. The Ovilus 3 turns your eyes into an infrared camera. I don't know how that works yet. We haven't had a big play, but yeah, we're looking forward to experimenting with some of these devices on our next investigation.
Cool.
You've also purchased some equipment off of our sponsor, Apparitions Technology. Yes,
AppTech. We've got a few lights coming. Also, one of the static detectors, and yeah, well, a couple more bits and pieces coming soon as well.
As for me, just really the same. Oh, we recently did a Adelaide crime and ghost tour with Haunted Horizons. That was pretty good. We do have a full review of that coming up sometime soon, but that was enjoyable. And, you know, you walk past some locations, I didn't even know we're in Adelaide.
Oh, man. Some of those places, I'm like, what? Where'd this come from?
Yeah, like, once you get off the main streets and go behind some of our historical structures, there's more historical structures behind them. Some fantastic stuff there. And
some great stories.
Yeah, some absolutely brilliant stories. But like I said, there's going to be a full review of that coming soon. Maybe not as its own podcast, but as part of a future podcast.
Not like Tatum Town last week.
Right. That was just cool, talking about haunted objects.
It's so easy to talk about that place. It's not funny.
Yeah, it's easy, and it was perfect for our haunted objects show. You know
what actually got me on that tour we went to when we went through the city is what Hungry Jack's car park has replaced. It is a mockery we do to this beautiful state, and if you saw the building it replaced, it's beautiful. It's the most gothic-y looking building. It looks like something the Grace Brothers would have had back 150 years ago if they were around that long.
Who's the Grace Brothers?
Yeah, they're like... Maya.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha.
It looks like one of those old-style department stores. It was a hotel for quite a while, and then it turned into a department store. But if you saw this building, it would look superb coming down Rundle Street and seeing that.
Now we've got Hungry Jack's.
And lights.
Very similar to Burger King for those playing overseas. And this massive 6-7 story parking structure. It's ridiculous.
And the lanterns, which is just terrible.
Yeah, so, you know, we got to learn a bit about what our city has lost, history-wise. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to know that because it's just upsetting. But it is good to know in the end, of course. You want to know your local history. So, before we jump into some of these listeners' questions, what have you got coming up, guys? What have you got coming, Tash? What's in your plans for the foreseeable future?
I've just recently vamped up and changed the look of my website, and I've just recently purchased a whole heap of new jars to make different candles and that sort of thing.
Paul, what's coming up for you, sir?
Well, I was going to say, I was posting a lot of pictures on the community page we have there at TPG, which is a lot of fun, showing you some of the places that we've gone into. But what's coming up? We've got a couple of pretty good investigations coming up, which I'm pretty excited about. One's a trip abroad. Another one is a trip overseas.
Yeah, I guess, technically. So we've got that. And what Paul's talking about when he's talking about putting up photos on the community page, we recently started probably, I don't know, early March. We started a new page. It was called the Paranormal Guide Community, which is a place where we can post all our investigation stuff, so all the photos of the place we've been, we can talk about our findings, and we can also answer any questions you guys have in the paranormal. You can talk about your experiences, tell us the places you've been to, suggest places for us, basically talk about anything to do with what we do. So, yeah. And, you know, all the team members are admins on this page, and, you know, they can answer your questions. Multiple of the team will answer your questions, so you're going to get different views and opinions from each of us, because we all have different beliefs, and, you know, at the moment, we've got a couple of hundred likes on there, but I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. I think just some of the stuff that's going to be learnt both from us and from you, and, you know, it's really just a cross-platform where we can get involved with what you're doing and you can get more involved with what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it gives the community and our likers on our first page a chance to actually interact with us, which they don't really normally do. So it's also given that open forum for people, if they don't really want to put it out in the public, to just privately message the page as well, which we've had quite a few of that as well with cases. And yeah, just an easier form of contact, I guess.
And you get to see all the locations we've been to. We did disclose all of them. There is a couple on there that we haven't said where they are, but it's probably because we haven't really finished investigating it yet. And we don't want everyone flooding in on our own investigations, but most of them are there. So, you know, these are places everyone can get access to. So,
Except for some of the abandoned locations, I don't think you're really disclosing that because of public liability and stuff like that.
Yeah, if they wanted to, I've put up a few pictures of abandoned places. I'll tell them where they are if they message me privately, but I'm not going to say where it is on Facebook, no.
Yeah.
And I also think that community page is probably where we're going to run most of our future competitions as well, because I know, it just feels right to do it at that page, I think. And, you know, these are our non-sponsored competitions too. So, you know, we got podcasts. Tash might give away a reading or something, or some mails, and Paul might, I don't know, he might have an extra piece of equipment he made. He might get one of Paul's piece of equipment and hopefully not fry yourself. And, you know, I think it's just going to be a real fun page. It's really free form and really open. And the other thing we do as well is if you ask a question on the page, if it's a good question, we'll flag it so it's shown up in the actual main page feed as well, so more people see it. So if it's a real fun question or something really interesting, we'll flag it and more people see it and hopefully answer it for you. So that's really the facebook.com/theparanormalguidecommunity page is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you guys would like to add before we get into some of these listeners' questions? And I must say some of them are... Yeah. Some were yeah. So, guys, anything you
what
guys
are we in for here?
All right. You want to add anything to before we dive into that, or should we just cut to a break, come back, and get into this?
Nah, let's get into
it. Awesome.
Let's go. We'll be back in a sec.
The Paranormal Investigation Group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses, and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or, why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre. Ring 0407 715 866 or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
Okay, hello everybody, we are back. Now, this show is all about listeners' questions, and we usually get a lot of... Normally I put a call out for listeners' questions from people to ask a question related to the show, but there's usually a lot of other questions on there which aren't related to the topic of the show that we're doing, and I thought, well, why not? Let's just do a show of listeners' questions. And we kind of did that for the end of last season as well. So what I did was I put a call out for anyone that had a question for one of the team to post it up, and I've written quite a few of them down for us to answer. And some of these are quite, you know, quite straightforward, while others are a little bit wacky. Unfortunately, when I wrote them down, I forgot to write down the name of the person who asked it. So if you hear your question, just pretend like I said your name over the podcast here. I'm sorry for messing that up. So we're going to get into it. So starting off, and this is an interesting question. Not all these, it should also be known, not all these questions are paranormal based.
Okay.
Okay. So the very first question is, what is your profession when you're not actually paranormal investigating? What is your day-to-day job?
I have a lot of professions. I'm a taxi driver. I'm a chef. I'm baseball mum. No, actually, I'm a baker and a bakery manager.
We're probably not going to say our business names, obviously. No, we've got to keep some anonymity.
Yeah. All right. I'm the same as Tash. I'm a parent as well, so I've got a couple of little rugrats. I'm also got a partner as well. How you going, Lee? Leonie, sorry.
It's like you said her Lee, name wrong.
No, it's Lee. All right. That's what I call her. So, how you going, babe? And I design motor vehicle accessory products. So, I design tow bars, roof racks, cargo barriers, work for Milford Industries. Yeah. I can say that. I'm one of the development technicians down there, which is a lot of fun. I get to... make a lot of stuff for us as well, which is really good. I've got a killer engineer who knows a hell of a lot. I've got an electrical guy down there, Tony, who gives me a hand with making some gadgets as well. And there's probably about 5 or 6 guys in my crew, and they all love helping, so it's all good. We don't do it during work time, but...
Sounds like garbage, Paul. You're off the clock when you're making stuff for the paranormal guy.
That's it. And we have a wide range of tools that we can use, from laser cutters to 3D printers to everything. So we're really well equipped.
It's awesome. That's why you see us with a lot of crazy stuff. A lot of stuff you've made, not so much so far, hasn't been for investigation so much, but a lot of our filming gear you've made. So we've got a really cool dolly.
Yeah.
You've done some stuff to the camera crane, I believe.
Yeah, we've got a few modifications that we do here and there. We make a lot of bracketry and that, what we use when we're filming. There's heaps.
Back on Natasha's job, baker.
Yes.
You make a lot of cakes for us sometimes,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do.
You know, one day, just out of the blue, we'll be doing something. She'll just rock up with some crazy thing that you baked at work.
Yeah.
That's always good. So, I've got a question. What's your favourite thing to make at work? What's your favourite thing to bake or cook?
I'll tell you what I hate first. Get that out
of the way. Is it lamingtons and donuts?
I hate doing lamingtons and donuts. I hate them. Only because they're so time-consuming. Like, simple batch of lamingtons takes, like, 3 hours to make. Wow. Yeah. And lamingtons, you've got to make the cake, and then you've got to bake the cake, then you've got to let it cool down, and then you've got to cut it, and then you've got to dip it, and then you've got to dip it again. So I hate doing that. I like making slab cakes, so especially the marble one, because you've got to, split the batter into 3 and make all the pattern and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Intriguing. I just like to eat it. Because I love cakes and biscuits. My favourite food besides sandwiches and hot dogs. I've got very simple tastes, everybody. And Tash rocks up the cake. It is awesome. Okay, second question. What was your motivation for becoming an investigator and joining the Paranormal Guide?
For me, it was probably my mum's illness. When I found out she was terminally ill, I think it pushed me on to see what is on the other side. And yep, so I'm looking. I still don't know, but hopefully there's something out there that gives us a peace of mind. I'm hoping to find something from that.
I've been doing this ever since I was little, not investigating, obviously, but I've been on this more spiritual side of things, being different from other kids growing up. Like I think I've mentioned in a few podcasts, doing seances when I was in year 5. Yeah, so I think this has always been with me, and I've never really had the opportunity to explore it. And not a lot of mediums actually do get to do the investigation side of things and do get to test themselves. So I think it was more of a branching out sort of thing for me.
Ash?
Well, for me, starting the Paranormal Guide started as a book, and I've talked about that many times before. What I'd like to talk about is how I met these two people. And, it's pretty straightforward, really. Paul, I met on a Haunted Horizons tour at St. Cecilia's, funny enough. I rock up, and, I was with PFI at the time as well, I think Paranormal Field Investigators, so I was part of another team, and we got our equipment. There's Paul, this guy I've never met before. Jesus Christ, the amount of stuff he bought. Like, I've seen that. Like, I've done a lot of tours before, like, as a tour guide or as a tour helper. And, people rock up and they'll usually have a couple of bits of equipment stashed in their bag. Like, they may have a K2. They'll have a camera and a voice recorder that Paul brings along. He's got all this stuff that you just can't get over here. And it was amazing. And when I eventually started doing my own things, I just thought, tech guy, there's only one choice, really, and that's got to be Paul. So he was a good guy, but also his equipment's good as well. Tash. Can't really remember how I first met Tash, but I gave her the big call, which was on New Year's Day, because Channel 7 or Channel 9, I can't remember which channel, they wanted to do a show on 2012.
Yes, the Mayans.
And they wanted a psychic on there too with us, and I thought, I'd talked to Tash a few times before, but I can't remember why.
We met, there was some kid that was running a Facebook page, and they were talking about going to Yulee Road and all that sort of stuff. And we sort of met on that page, and then we added each other, and then we were just talking randomly.
Yeah. And then I think we ended up doing a investigation, or starting an investigation at that suburb, wherever that was.
I asked your first podcast question.
That's right. You asked our first podcast question, and now she is one of the presenters.
What was that question?
Would you ever consider getting...
That's right.
Would you ever consider using a medium, or what are your thoughts of having a medium or a psychic
in a science-based team? That's right.
The piece of equipment.
That was hilarious. Because you answer that, and then the next show, you're part of the team.
Yes, good. It's that simple. That's how you're going
to
do it.
No? That's right. And that leads to the next question. How do I become an investigator? So make it very brief. How would you suggest, if someone's interested in becoming an investigator themselves, what's something they can do to help them on that path?
Surround yourself with people of the same interest, and just get to talking to people.
Yeah, and probably the easiest way to do that would be to go on a tour. And if you're lucky enough, I mean, probably not so much some of the smaller tours, but if you go to a lot of the sleepover tours, these people are probably more dedicated to actually forming teams. And I know we get asked a number of times for people to join in, and, you know, a smaller team's a lot easier to manage than big teams. I know a lot of people out there who have got some big teams, and I mean, they work well, but we have grown as well. We absorbed a former team that we used to work with. And, probably tours.
Yeah, I'd suggest the same, like I said. So both these guys said the same thing, is surround yourself in what you want to do and in like-minded people who want to do it. And once again, working with Haunted Horizons, when I worked with them in the past, I've seen a lot of teams develop. At least 3 or 4 just people meeting up on tours and going, cool. And if you, like Paul said, you want to go on a longer tour, because if you're just on a 2-hour tour, you're walking through hearing the stories, which are fun, you're probably not going to have as much chance to interact with the other people there. But if it's an overnight tour, there's a lot of downtime between what you're doing, and you get to talking and over coffee and stuff. You talk to people, you get to meet everyone a lot better. So if you're really interested in investigating, besides, you know, that's one of the easiest ways to do it, I think, is just to meet them.
It's a lot safer than answering a Gumtree ad or because you just don't know who you're meeting. Even on Facebook, I mean, you get to talk to a lot of people, and I suppose that's a good way to start a relationship too, is over Facebook.
What about Access Paranormal? Sometimes teams advertise with Access Paranormal, and you can go on their website and see any vacancies and apply like you would a normal job. I mean, you're not going to get paid for the role, but at least it gives you that opportunity to even make a connection, even if you don't end up joining the team.
Absolutely. That was going to be my next point as well. Access Paranormal is very good, one of our sponsors, and if you look them up on Facebook or go into this podcast description, you'll find them. And they list all the different teams around the place, and they do paranormal classified. So say if the paranormal guide was looking for a team member, just for an example, it would say to Access, look, this is what we look for, and she'll put up a classified ad. Yeah. Beth Luskin would. So check it out. As for the tours, like, two of our sponsors, Adelaide's Haunted Horizons and Appy Ghost Tours.
Yes.
They both do sleepover tours, so you can meet them. And also, Renard Daniel from Newcastle Ghost Tours, they at times do overnight tours as well, so that's another place that you can really start networking with people that are like-minded. And, of course, Ghost Hunters United, jump on there and see what's happening as well. That was a really big ad. We don't need our next ad break. We've just done it.
There you go.
All of that is good advice coming
from us. And conventions.
Oh, and conventions. And expos.
Yes, and expos.
Australian Paranormal Spiritual Expo coming up. But more on that later in a later show. All right, guys. So that was a good question. I actually like that one. Okay.
Didn't like the others.
Okay, guys. Do you guys ever find stuff scary when out on investigation?
Yes, all the time. All the time. I'm forever screaming and carrying on like a pork chop. No, and I'm not always screaming. I think the last time when we went to Surbiton and the train was coming, and Lynn was outside with me, and she saw the light had changed, and she startled me because she just bolted away from me, so I just screamed. But yeah, I do. I'm very jumpy, only because I don't like spirit just, you know, all of a sudden they're there. And I, when I go into a place, I try and make them aware of that. If you're going to show me yourself, do it subtly. Don't just jump out in front of me. But, yeah. And also just some of the feelings, the residual feelings that I get as well, that can be quite scary too.
Me, no. I've never actually been scared investigating, but the last investigation we'd done is the first time I've ever been scared, and I got scared twice. And once was when Meg got bitten by a spider. I was scared for her, like, you know, yeah. I thought, oh my God. And then when we woke up in the morning and we saw Wes and his whole face was swollen.
He had been bitten on the face.
He got bitten on the face by another spider. And his face was swollen, his lips were swollen, he couldn't breathe properly, and yeah, that was pretty scary.
Yeah, that Wes was
Wes
that was
is okay, creepy. By the way.
No, his face is absolutely rooted. Do you see how ugly
still.
He looks now?
Oh.
That's not very nice, but no, Wes is fine and back to normal. And you know, what I found funny is you could see how crook he was feeling, but he still had high spirits and still cracking jokes and stuff. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was more concerned about... He thought he'd ruined it for us. Like, yeah. All we were doing were waking up anyway. It's not like you're really going to ruin anything.
Nah, good. Props to him. He still keeps it.
But he was talking
up,
like, I can't do the voice, but it was like...
The elephant man.
Right.
Yeah. So, no, but Wes, okay. As for me being scared, I used to get scared all the time, you know.
By fire hydrants.
Yeah, I've had some exciting moments where... The funny thing, people, have you seen those fainting goats that you scare and they
yeah,
drop to the ground?
Drop.
People used to liken that to me because when I get scared, I would like turn to bolt and I'd trip over my own legs and I'd end up on the ground and have made no ground whatsoever. So even if something bad was coming for me, I wasn't going to get away. I'd be doomed, possessed or dead or something. So all the time, these days, not so much. I still feel at times... Not so much intimidate a location, but I can kind of feel when the location's not so nice. But you kind of just grin and bear with it because nothing's happened yet. You know, I personally don't think anything bad and irreversible's going to happen. If it does, well, too bad. What am I going to do about it? Nothing. Mm. So you may have to just jump in head first and give it a... That's my theory. Tash is probably thinking, you idiots, have some protection. I'm protecting yous anyway. You guys will be right. But yeah, but nah, not so much. Not so much scared anymore. No, there's lots of footage of me on camera.
It's funny that the person that can see the most is the most scared.
Well, that makes sense. Mm. And that's the next question: do you believe?
Yes, 100%.
I believe in spirits. I definitely think there's something out there. Whether we can capture it, I don't know. I don't think it would harm us. I don't think it can harm us. I think you'd have to be very weak for it to harm you. It'd only be psychologically that a spirit can, I think, penetrate or hurt someone. But, yeah, there's definitely something there. But what it is and if we could ever capture it, I don't know.
I'm skeptical, but I'm also a fence-sitter. It's strange. When I'm on location... I feel stuff is not feel it, but, you know, when something happens, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it could be, you know, spiritual or some sort of paranormal energy or something, you know. And I jump when sounds happen. But the second I go home, I turn into 100% skeptic and just start writing things off straight away. So I'm a believer on location, or at least more of a believer, but once I get home, I'm just, starting to write things off, and that's just why I am.
What about when I do my walk around and I say stuff? Do you just think I'm a load of hogswash?
That is an unfair question.
No, it's not an unfair question. Like,
okay.
When I'm doing my walk around and stuff and I'm just talking and that, you know.
Yeah.
You don't tell me until you say, do you want to know now? So what are you thinking when I'm doing that? Are you thinking that, you know, I've researched this? And
no.
Like,
the answer I can give you, I don't think you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
There you go. As for what that means, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're just making crap up and hit and, you know, shotgunning it and getting a couple of hits now and then. Because you have said some stuff like last investigation serviced and you talked about a little girl, you talked about Melody, and then someone else that you didn't even meet, I don't think, while there, she started telling me the same thing later on, so yeah. Strange stuff. So strange things do happen that leave me questioning, but that's just an unfair question, Tash.
No.
Moving on.
You can't.
Final question for the next ad break, and this is another one of our sensible questions, is what is the best way to see, experience, or interact with spirit? Ghosts.
Believing. pretty much believing. If you don't believe, oh, okay, I brought this up on the community website about manifestation, and a lot of people thought I meant like a spirit manifesting in front of you, and I actually meant by you what you put out and what energy put out, you get back. So if you are totally negative all the time, you're just going to have negative experiences with spirit. If you don't believe in it, then you're not going to see it.
I think, yeah, you're right. You have to be open-minded and you have to be willing to accept things. But again, you have to be, you have to have a little bit of skepticism in you where you just won't jump at every knock and every noise you hear. You got to take things rationally. So, especially if you're investigating a proper investigation where you're going to be debunking stuff. And I think that's very, very important. But to get the most out of a place or a location, I think a nice quiet vigil in the dark, turn off your cameras, turn everything off. If you've got a voice recorder, cover the light and just ask a few questions and just see what you feel and hear and do it that way. I think... Do it on a tour, but if you can, I'm pretty sure you can. A lot of tours is just sneak off a lot, on your own for a little bit, and especially at St. Cecilia's, you got the whole place to yourself. You can go wherever you want. You do start off with your group, but then afterwards you split up. And yeah, just go off and try your own thing. Yeah. Experiment. That's what we're here for. We want everyone to try different ways. No one wants to tell anyone how to investigate. You got to figure it out yourself and see what works for you.
I think another thing which Paul just triggered my mind is, well, you said about seeing spirit. Spirit will only show itself when you're ready. You can't just expect spirit to go, like, if you know, wanting it that bad, you can push it away. If you want something that bad, sometimes it can have the reversed effect as well. So with spirit and the way that they work, they won't actually show themselves unless you are ready, and if that makes sense, on a spiritual sort of level. Definitely. So you can't make anything happen. It has to happen when it's ready.
And the reason I'm telling you to turn off your camera and everything, because that's when everything bloody happens, is when you've got nothing going on.
It does.
What about equipment? Does equipment help? Have you guys been dazzled or had any questions left when going, what the hell? Did that just really do that? Does equipment help?
I think equipment helps validate maybe your personal experience. Like, I think the last time when equipment went and I went, what the hell, was probably at the hospital when the K2 was going off. I've never seen it go off that much like that. I don't know if it was because of where it was, but it was normally the K2s don't really do anything. I don't know if I'm just not noticing it. And also that REM pod thing, but we sort of debunked that. That was one where we were going, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, that's right. The toilet flush or the upstairs light that was setting it off. But yeah, again, the K2, when we were at the hospital, we were in a different part of the room. We had a camera on the K2 and it was responding to what we were saying in the other part of the room. In that hallway. That was pretty interesting. Other places, the Ovilus, the very first investigation we did at the Port Dock Hotel, it was just word for word. Almost everything was relative to what we were asking and what we were saying. And I mean, it has 2,000 and something words in it, and there is no way you could make sense out of almost 50 or 60 words that said simultaneously, like, up one after the other, and it came out with the word Adelaide. We all heard it. I'm spewing. I haven't got the footage of it. It said Adelaide, and there's nothing in the Ovilus that sounds like Adelaide. It doesn't even have that word imprinted. I thought it might have joined Adele and Laid, and neither of them are in there. I'd try to find other words that it could have made, but nothing. So that was pretty interesting. The thermal, when we first got it, and we were getting reflections of thermal, of heat signatures off walls, off glossy walls, that gave me a bit of a whoa. But then, like I said, you have to know how to use your equipment before you can use it in an investigation and come up with evidence. So, you know, these shows are great, but they do sort of misuse some of their technologies.
Well, it's for entertainment, that's why.
That's right.
And since we plugged half our swans before, if you want to get hold of some equipment, you want to check out Apparition Technologies, who are Australia's premier manufacturer of paranormal detection equipment, and Ghost Shack, who resell a lot of awesome stuff. Like, you can get Mel meters, you can get, I think you can get K2s, you can get cameras, you can get full spec stuff. So
they haven't got the ADD2, the one with the ghost touch attachment, like the e-probe. Yeah, it's all great equipment.
So there you go, and we're going to take a quick break. You'll probably hear the sponsors ad for those guys right now. When we get back, we got a couple more interesting questions for the guys here and myself. I seem to have been dragged into answering a few, so we'll be back in a second.
If you're looking for top quality Australian-made paranormal equipment, look no further than Apparition Technologies. Making everything from EM pumps to shadow detectors and much more. Apparition Technologies, Australia's leading paranormal equipment manufacturer. Find us on facebook.com/apparitiontechnologies.
Introducing Ghost Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. Ghost Shack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, Mel meters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. Ghost Shack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at ghostshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Welcome back, everybody. You're going to hear a couple of yawns. It's getting a bit late. We started recording a bit late for this podcast, so I apologise if you're here or if we make you yawn. Yawns are meant to be contagious. We've got a couple of interesting questions here now to liven us all back up. So the very first one is, you wake up in the middle of the night, you find yourself on a bed, and aliens are doing work on you. What are you going to do?
Clench my cheeks.
I don't really know. I don't know. Depends if you... I don't know. Depends if you're held down by something. I'd probably scream would be the first thing I'd do.
They're any little fellas, aren't they? I'll whoop some ass.
You're gonna whoop some alien ass?
Yeah, man. I'd Schwarzenegger their butts.
I would love to walk into this room when this is happening. Tash is there screaming their head off and pulls... clenching with strain on his face. Keep that probe away. You know, I don't know. It wasn't a very well thought out question, to be honest.
Was it yours?
No, it wasn't. Oh. Just like I said, I didn't write anyone's names down for it. So, oh well.
What would you do?
What would I do? I think I'd just go with it. What are you going to do in the really? End? These things have got some ability to rip me out of my bedroom in the middle of the night. What am I going to do?
You said you were in your bed.
No, you wake up.
Oh, you wake up.
And you're on like a table.
I'd smash him, man.
You'd smash him?
Yeah.
So your first contact with a species from another world and you're just punching on?
Yeah. They've got me on a bed and they're trying to do shit to me, man. It's all on. But
I hope you're not in some position of power when they do decide to make contact.
But that took me out of my bed and probing me, man.
There's probing.
Well, they've got me on a bed and, you know... You're saying that they're being aggressive.
You better hope you don't sleep naked.
They could just take it off.
At least I've got a weapon.
Oh, my God.
They get the word crowbar from nowhere.
Oh, my God. The path.
Is that because you're a port supporter?
No.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway.
Okay, continuing.
What would you do? Let them go.
Well, what the hell am I going to do? I'm a bit of a defeatist. Sorry, I couldn't provide something. Everyone's just looking at me
You could have at least screamed.
I'll scream with Tash then. We're screaming and, well, you're punching on. It'll be hilarious. We'll film this one day. Special effects and everything. It's going to be fantastic. Like an independence poll. Free the cheeks. All right. Next question is... succubus or incubus? See, people are very sexual, I think. Yeah, okay. I'm changing this guy's question. You know the ram in England that's got that funny old guy, he reckons he's getting laid on a regular basis by a succubus. What are you guys going to do finding yourself in that situation? From the preferred demonic entity, of course.
What's the incubus?
Well, you got the male, and then you got the female.
I don't know. I have no idea. Can't you have the best of both worlds?
One removes the semen, and one...
I don't have semen.
Doesn't it? And the other one injects it. One impregnates.
Oh, well, I don't want to be impregnated.
Tash wants the best of both worlds, so she wants an androgybus. You know, So Tash, you're just like, eh.
No.
With your spiritual ability.
Yeah.
Could you do anything in that situation? Just say, could you protect yourself from, let's assume, demonic?
To a certain extent, but people, that's a far-fetched demonic entity. So.
Why is that far-fetched?
Because.
Are you questioning the crazy old guy at the ramming?
Yes.
How about the lady that spoke to us at, the Psychic Expo. She had one of them.
Oh, dear.
Oh, what? I didn't hear
that. The masturbating ghost.
Oh, that's different. She said that was a dude. Yeah, an actual proper guy.
That was a ghost.
Yeah, I'm questioning that too.
Oh, my God.
You're going to cut all this out.
Absolutely not. This is gold. This is stuff that you're saying.
Oh, I don't know. Just having conversations.
I don't have semen. All right. Okay. Okay. Orbs. That's the question. That's all the person wrote was orbs. Capital letter with 3 question marks after it. Interpret that how you like.
Dust. D-U-S-T. Dust.
In capital letters, Paul?
With
exclamation. Yeah, right back at you. Dust.
I think some are dust, some are bog, some are rain, but I think there are some... that aren't. Some that are beings of light. Energy balls.
Why are they in energy balls exactly? Like, talk to us. So, go with the spiritual orbs for us. Tell us a bit more about them, because me and Paul are absolute non-believers.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about them, but there are some that have different characteristics and, you know, might be different colours or different shapes. Normally the dust ones are like a whitish sort of browning colour. You can't actually see they're like a gold colour. And like you normally see them in photos where there's like a dirt road and then they'll take a photo of a gate or something and then all of a sudden, bang, next photo, there's all this dust. Well, it's probably because you've moved. Like, look at all these orbs. Orbs aren't going to be that many in one sort of spot. Spiritually, I think it's sort of like the aura sort of thing. You know, the different colours and that. But, you know, I do have a chart which has been floating around the internet about the different meanings of different colours of orbs, but it's all down to personal belief. And I sort of think, yeah, the meanings of colours and the meanings of orbs in this chart is completely different. So it's all down to what you interpret. But some of the photos, I have seen a lot of photos of dust.
Yeah, well, there's so many things that can cause it. There's dust, there's rain, there's bugs.
Lens flare,
spider webs.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is, especially on video cameras now, when you're in night vision mode, our eyes cannot see that IR light. And a lot of these IR lights that people are using today are really, really bright. And they're probably too bright for what they're using it for. So, I mean, you're not going out there to buy the biggest and brightest light. You have to actually use a light that's suitable to the environment you're investigating. So if you've got a massive bright light, you're just going to catch anything flying through the air that's any sort of reflection.
Yeah. Also, I think on one of the pages, on our community page, I put up a photo that I took of Jay Ward and... a lady actually asked me, is that an orb? Like, is that a spirit there? And what it actually is there's a photo of a hallway, so there's a glass door at the end of it, and what it is my camera flash reflected.
There's actually an orb to the right-hand side of that flash, and that's what she was talking about, and I saw it. And
really?
Yeah, there is. And
I didn't notice that.
All right. It's a very dull orb. It's very transparent, and I have seen it, and it's dust flare. It's probably what it is... probably the reflection of the flash coming back at you, which made this orb look different than what normal orbs do.
Okay.
Hmm.
When you pick up
that out?
No. It's fine. When you pick up a photo, you know how you do your photo readings?
Yeah.
By using your process you use there, can you tell the difference between a spiritual orb and a non-spiritual orb? Does that come through?
Yeah, from the energy and what I pick up. So, but it also can be like that you could have a couple of dust ones in there and they're like, look at this one, when it could be this one over here, like Paul just said, you know, I didn't see that one. Yeah, it could also just be the residual energy of that place as well.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I can feel the difference. I'm not an expert, but I can feel what's different.
I'm going to ask a question now, and it's sort of the same thing. Someone sends you a photo, and they say, what the hell is this? And they're interpreting it as an angel, but it's obviously just a cricket or something. You've seen those photos, yes. Where they're really bright white, and they've got the legs hanging out, and sometimes you can see the arms and the wings, and they interpret an angel. How do you respond to that person? Like, someone's asked you for your opinion on that photo, and they've already invested their faith and their belief that this is some form of angel that's looking over some dead relative who recently died or something. How do you respond?
You answer it with a question to see how much they believe in it. I would just say, like, you know, what is your belief on it? Yeah, maybe truthfully say, do you really want to hear what I think, and then answer it honestly.
I'd probably ask them for the original, then run it through a bit of editing software like Picasso or something, remove some of the noise, remove some of the colour and remove some of the brightness and send it back to them and say, sorry, but this is not an angel.
This is a grasshopper. I would start up a page called the Paranormal Guide Community and then tell people to post those photos there, then I don't have to touch them.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, because I don't like upsetting people, and half the time I tell people the truth and they just get shitty.
There's a couple of people that have posted on there, and I'm really sorry if you actually listen to our show, but there is a couple of people that have posted on there, but they haven't really asked us for an opinion. They've just posted the photos. So I don't feel obliged to actually say anything, whereas if they did ask a question, then I would feel obliged to answer.
There's definitely people out there, no matter how much you say, no, it's this, yeah, but they're not going to listen. But, I mean, it's your personal belief. Like I said, I'm going to give my honest answer. I'm not going to hide that, because that's what I am as an investigator. I'm not going to
sugarcoat.
I'm not going to, I can say, affect my integrity by either shunning away or not answering it truthfully, in my own opinion. So, like I said, it's your own opinion. This is my opinion. If you don't want to take it, it's up to you. But, you know, if you're crazy and you're seeing stuff that's not there, it's probably not a good thing either.
Sorry.
And to continue on from that, how much of a thorn in the arse of the paranormal community do you think that the ghost photo apps on the iPhones are? You guys have no doubt been sent photos of people going, and they'll give you some elaborate story, and it's that same little girl in that patterned dress.
Yeah.
Shit, she gets around.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
It's just for fun. Yeah, it's just for entertainment. Yeah,
don't be gullible. That's all. I mean, come on. Not everyone has a night hunting deer camera and captures a spirit. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's better than an orb.
Yeah. Well, how do you respond when you see one of those and you get that photo? And you know it is that damn photo app.
Just say.
Don't waste your time with it. Just say, you
know, you don't have to say that to them.
Don't make me an idiot, you know. You're trying to trick me, or is this a photo you've taken? And if they say yes, then it's like they're full of shit, obviously. Well, it's true.
Yeah. Do what I used to do. I don't do it anymore, not since starting the Paranormal Guide, because you know, you got to play fair.
God, that was my sister. Look, I've got a picture of her.
What I used to do is you'd see someone would post on their page this photo, and the person that owns a page, you know, it'll just be like, it's not generally a team page. Teams generally don't post them, but it'll be like, you know, haunted stuff page. It's not a team, it's just someone with that just finds spooky photos and posts it up. And everyone comments. What I'll do is I would grab that photo from Google, which has all the different app pictures, and it'll just copy and post it and just write, I'm just leaving this here. So then people will see, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying, it looks pretty close to me that, you know, this little girl that is in every second fucking paranormal photo. It's crazy. I'm changing the subject. Do we ever prank each other on investigation?
On the phone? No, we don't have our phones on us. Well, we shouldn't have our phones on us. But we do... Oh, prank. I get you. Like,
what do you think I said?
Like, prank, like, ring and then hang up. So it's late.
I'm on investigation. I'm going to call Tash, make a pick up, then hang up again.
Well, that is a double prank, really. But no, we don't really. No, we don't really spook each other out. I think I did to you at service and I was sitting behind the door and I went, rah, at the door, but it's the first time I've ever done that.
It does happen, not that you mean to do it. Like, so I remember once when it was one of our first investigations and Ash was using this camera thing light I made and I don't know, scared the shit. I thought it was the Mothman. So I have been scared of an investigation. There you go. Yeah, he popped his head out through a window.
Well, no, like, we generally don't hide around corners. And
we actually have a rule saying not to, because the last thing you want to do is be on edge waiting for every Tom, Dick and Harry that there's with you to try and scare you.
Yeah.
But at the end of an investigation, some funny things do happen, and I am always, always, you know, finding myself not trying to prank some. So once all the equipment's away and that's fine. But, Tash, what's your primary fear?
Birds.
Birds, right? We're at St. Cecilia's. What do you freak out over seeing?
The stuffed peacock.
You know, and we put it away. What I was going to do was
freak
down in the middle of the night and leave it in the room so she would wake up and see this giant peacock.
You're freaking out already.
So, you know, we wouldn't do anything during the actual investigation part. This is getting a bit crazy. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with these final couple of questions that you guys asked. You guys asked us these questions. We're delivering a poor show. I'm blaming it squarely on all of you whose questions I've read out. But we'll be back.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
If you're looking for an entertaining and spooky night out, come to the Casula Powerhouse Art Centre. It's in the southwest of Sydney. We hold ghost tours and paranormal investigation nights. You'll find spooky stories, there's treasure hunts, loads of food and wine, and plenty of time for you to explore the venue on your own. The tours are run by Appy, and you can find us on Facebook or our website, which is appi.org.au.
We're back. We're going to do our final questions before wrapping this up. The first is, why are some places afraid of their ghosts and their hauntings being made public?
I have no idea why they are. It's publicity. It's free publicity, and it's publicity that they can't prove. More people are inclined to go to places nowadays, you know, if it's said to be haunted. It gives it free publicity.
But not hotel rooms and that.
No, but like restaurants and historical sites and stuff, like
I really don't know. Unless it's a more of a classy sort of establishment, you know, like if you're talking the casino wouldn't want haunting tales, you know, otherwise people start blaming losing money on the poker table. I didn't put that on there, you know. It must have been that ghost, you know. Yeah. He chucked my $100 chip on there, you know. I don't know. I don't know why you would do it. I think scare tactics is a great way to sell things, and a lot of people are doing it. So I think they'd probably be changing their minds sooner or later. I know when we investigated Martindale Hall, they didn't want anything to be public, and she slowly started easing off, and we found that she was on the news advertising the spirits. straight after the investigation. So, yeah, she was happy to go public then. Yeah, well,
someone said straight on it when I asked on the community page, where would you like to see us investigate? The first comment was...
Mandel Hall. I don't think anyone's done it since either, but... No. Yeah, it's a great place.
Well, I think I remember seeing on tap some guy that actually had some hotel and apparently was near the beach, and apparently there was a lady that was seen on the beach because she jumped off the cliff or something, and he actually had some mechanism in the roof that made the lights move. Like, he actually tried to make the place haunted, and then the taps guys turned around. Like, they actually found it, and there was stuff in the one of the bathrooms to do with the mirror or something. So yeah, and like they actually like told him, like, pretty much didn't abuse him, but, you know, basically said, why are you wasting our time to come all the way out here when you've got all this stuff?
There's definitely a lot of fake hauntings out there too, so
yeah, needless to say, a lot of places don't want their location as haunted. And the number one place I can think of is a hotel. That they would they need to make money on people staying there for the night. So I guess, you know, if people are going to be afraid to stay there because the place is haunted, well, yeah, fair enough. And we'll never, ever publicise a place as haunted if a location doesn't want us to. If we go in and investigate somewhere and they say, don't let us out, we won't do it, but generally with our investigations, because we want to put that out to you guys as much as possible, we'll ask. And if a location does say, you know, you can come and investigate, but we don't want anyone to know what you found or that you're even here, we probably won't even do it, because that's not what we're about. Yeah. We're about getting that information out. Unless it's a real cool location, and we will do it and keep it to ourselves. All right, and the final question is, has a spirit ever followed you home from a location?
From a location I've investigated? No, but I have had, like, years and years ago when I was researching haunted locations, I came across this when I first discovered Monte Cristo, and I came across Mrs. Crowley. I was reading up a lot about her. And I was going to sleep half in a meditative state, and she actually came to me and screamed in my face. But that's, you know, so that's as far as it's gone. I haven't actually had a spirit follow me home, no.
No, again, I don't think so.
I think generally most spirits are content with their surroundings, and that's the reason why they're there. You know, they're attached to something, or like our previous podcast, they could be haunting something. So why would they want to leave?
There's a very big possibility that I've taken spirits with me to a location. Like I said, with my mum, almost every investigation, you thought I was going to say alcohol again, weren't you?
Yeah, I did.
Almost every investigation we've been to, like I said, they obviously said Paul and Mummy. Now, if there's any truth in that machine, you know, it's very likely. Mm. You know, the words are close together. I think it's 16 and 18 or something like that. And if the weather conditions are right and everything's right, they'll probably spit out those words a couple of times.
Do you think it could be? Do you think she could be protecting you and actually hindering anything happening to you?
Spewing.
Why? Because if she was there and she was doing that, she'd be interacting. She'd be making these machines go off. If there's any validation in the equipment we're using,
yeah, she could just be setting them off. Protecting you.
Yeah, that too. Mm. I'll ask her not to from now on, as I do you. And hopefully we get some more experiences.
Yeah.
You must feel awful, Paul, these people trying to protect you out in location. What a hindrance.
Curse me. Damn me. I want to be haunted.
You're going to regret saying that. There's going to be all these people listening doing all their weird, bizarre, occultish stuff trying to curse you, Paul.
Be careful who listens.
I can't do it. Not to me.
As for me, no, I don't think I've ever brought anything home with me, but my very first, very early in my ghost investigation years, I went out to a very well-known cemetery just to the north of Adelaide. All you guys know about. It's in a town that rhymes with Papunda. But I come home after this very first day there, and I used to have these incredibly lucid dreams about this location and, you know, what was happening there and the spirits there and the spirits being told of, and I was told that I had an attachment from there, and that just kind of slowly left me. Like, I know. But I've also been told, there's some people that talk about entities, and there's some people out there that apparently see it, and I've been told I've got two malevolent entities with me at all times. I've got a permanent attachment with me, but I don't seem to really notice.
Need any medication?
Yeah, I've never really noticed anything.
Didn't you actually have to do something to get rid of that spirit that followed you home? Didn't you put your shoes?
Yeah, I was told that if I at night before I go to bed to put my shoes at the foot of the bed, but each shoe facing a separate direction, so heel to toe, heel to toe. And yeah, I remember that did work. And I was told that's not really a magical spell or anything. That's just signalling an intention for them to bugger off. And that's why they did eventually leave me. But once again, who knows?
So why would a spirit come in if they're attached to you and look at your shoes at the foot of the bed?
I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. There's many people out there say we shouldn't even be trying to interact with spirits. So we're doing everything wrong. Now, that's our last question, but there's always the bonus question. Guys, single funniest thing that has happened out on investigation or out at a paranormal / haunted location. Paul, you can go first.
There's a couple actually for me. Probably we were filming a film clip and for a Cycloser, and after that we decided to have a few drinks and go out because we're at Gladstone. Go out and try investigating. So we formed a team, Paro Paranormal. We downed a good bottle of tequila.
Yeah, it was two bottles.
And man, it was we had a tsunami prediction by the Ovilus. This was like word after word. It was pretty funny actually. There was noises. Obviously, it was us. There was other people hurling. There was all sorts of stuff happening. So
very, 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 very funny.
And the other one was probably, again, it was the Ovilus, and it done a cold reading on someone, and it died. This was my first Ovilus, and it just died after it. It just stopped working. It wasn't dropped or anything like that. It was just this person had it in their hand, and it was just everything it was saying was related to a past loved one, and yeah, it was. I can't say it was funny, but it was just out there.
So funny things that come across, probably the possum running across the roof on my, that'd probably be my first jail investigation more than anything. It sounded like, I don't know, like the roof was caving in or something. Yeah, I don't really.
I'm going to elaborate on that. We're seeing at Gladstone Jail what's known as the Indigenous cell, so they would lock up, well, not lock up really, but segregated all the Aboriginal prisoners there. And we're sitting down there minding our own business and talking and trying to do stuff. And all of a sudden there's this massive booming going along the roof above us. Man, did the girls jump. They freaked you. You were funny. And even after Megan said there's a possum on the roof, Tasha replies, "What the fuck is a possum doing on the roof?" Like, you were that wound up that it was perfect timing too, because someone had just asked, "Can you give us a noise or a sound for your presence?" And there's just this boo, 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 boo. And man, I'm sitting there, right? I'm thinking, oh shit, I've just watched Tash jump and she's having a moment. And I'm thinking, and I'm got in my head trying to imagine what you're picturing. And all I could think of is like, maybe she like thought like couldn't visualize like a dark shadow walking upside down across the roof.
Yeah, that's what I like was. That's what I was thinking. Like, you know, the Grudge where she crawls along the roof. That's what I was thinking. And oh, it scared the shit out of me. I think it was also because of the mood. We had just finished, like, to try and, not antagonize, but to try and build activity up. We were listening to the didgeridoo being played. And it sort of, I don't know, it was just weird. It was horrible. But yeah, that's probably the funniest thing. I can't really think of anything else funny.
Try having a possum run down your back.
Oh.
Oh,
that's
at Jay Ward.
And that's my number one. My funniest moment is we're at Jay Ward. We're in what was known as the, God, what was his name? It's not the warden, the governor's bathroom. It's underground. The room looks like something out of a horror movie, right? It looks, there's all this black, greasy stuff running down the walls. There's this old antique bath. It just, and you know, it's just in this tiny, weird
It's like a stone rape dungeon.
Yeah, it's like a rape dungeon. Yeah, we'll call it that. The governor's rape dungeon. But we're in there filming, and we're doing a couple of sessions, and this is a place where the activity's meant to be kind of at its most at J Ward. And then I'm filming it, and then Paul's standing against the wall. And what did you say? So you did something. You reacted to something. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, what? And I'm looking at it through the camera, and I can see there's a possum climbing up the wall wedge between Paul's back and the wall itself. And I'm just seeing, and we all had a bit of a laugh. I'm just thinking, man, what must have been going through your mind as to what was making that sensation on your back?
Oh, I did feel it was hairy, and so, because I was in a t-shirt, so, no, I wasn't, I was in a jumper, I don't know what I was thinking, but it didn't scare me, but, I don't know, I can't remember, I was probably frozen with fear, that was probably my scariest moment, going back on some of those other questions, but, I mean, you quickly realise it wasn't paranormal when it kept going down all my back. And now we know what all those greasy, slimy marks are on the walls. Probably their poo.
There's so much crazy stuff that goes on, and luckily we usually film it all, and it all ends up in blooper reel videos for our birthdays. But yeah, those are the questions you guys all asked us. We've got heaps more, so we can do this again sometime, probably for the end of season, about episode... I know that'll be like episode 25, 26 kind of thing. So yeah, so we're about halfway through the podcast season anyway. Now, if you'd like to contact us, maybe ask us some more questions about anything paranormal, you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/theparanormalguidecommunity. That's the only address I'm going to give out to you guys now, because that's the main place for you guys to send stuff. So until next time, I'm Ashley Hall, and see you later.
Many blessings.
Happy hunting, everyone.
And sing us out this week is the band Apparition and their track Frozen Roses. Enjoy.